claims or damages received from any product advertised within this program. Revolution Radio, where information never sleeps.
It is sad to think that sooner or later those you love will do the same for you. And you may have thought it tragic, not to mention other adjectives, to think of all the weeping they will do. But don't you worry, no more ashes, no more sackcloth, and an armband made of black cloth will someday nevermore adorn a sleeve. For if the bomb that drops on you gets your friends and neighbors too, there'll be nobody left behind to grieve, and we will all go together when we go. What a comforting fact that is to know. Universal bereavement, an inspiring achievement. Yes, we all will go together when we go. We will all go together when we go, all suffused with an incandescent glow. No one will have the endurance to collect on his insurance. Lloyd's of London will be loaded when they go. We will all fry together when we fry. We'll be French fried potatoes by and by. There will be no more misery when the world is our rotisserie. Yes, we all will fry together when we fry. We will all bake together when we bake. There'll be nobody present at the wake. With complete participation in that grand incineration, nearly 3 billion hunks of well-done steak. We will all char together when we char. And let there be no moaning of the bar. Just sing out a te deum when you see that ICBM, and the party will be come as you are.
This is Jim Fetzer, your host on The Raw Deal. According to former Arizona police officer Brandon Tatum, author of an upcoming book, Beaten Black and Blue, Being a Black Cop in an America Under Siege, there's a broader agenda behind the defund the police movement. I believe it's an agenda to completely destroy and dismantle local police departments so that the government can have control of law enforcement in this country and push a nationwide agenda. Tatum explained that if law enforcement is federalized and there are unconstitutional mandates or restrictions, such as those involving vaccines, face masks, guns, the federal government will be able to enforce those directives more easily in spite of their unconstitutionality. I believe that the government has a lot more leverage federalizing these agencies, and that's the end goal. I don't believe it has anything to do with racism, police brutality. That's a talking point to push an even bigger agenda. It is this agenda, he observes, that is really the cause of a lot of turmoil we see in law enforcement and the crime rate we see spiking around the country. Indeed, according to the National Fraternal Order of Police, murder rates over the past year have skyrocketed in cities where police departments have been defunded. As of May 25th, the murder rate in New York City and Chicago were up 22%, in Los Angeles, 27%, in Washington, D.C., 35%, in Philadelphia, 40%, Minneapolis, 56%, in Portland, a staggering 800%. And we know, as I have reported frequently, murders of blacks and whites by race are overwhelmingly of blacks killed by blacks, 55 times more frequent in 2013 than blacks killed by whites. Indeed, whites killed by blacks occur at a rate of 10 times greater than blacks killed by whites, and about at the same rate that whites kill whites. But it's overshadowed by the blacks killing blacks that is predominant throughout the nation. Nevertheless, what Black Lives Matter protests is a relatively rare incidence when blacks are killed by whites. It's the same kind of propaganda you get from editorial writers, attorneys at law, alas, arguing cases, and used car salesmen who cite over the only the evidence favorable to their case. Tatum, who grew up in an inner city in Texas, said the real issue for the black community is the homicide rate in inner cities, where blacks are primarily being killed by blacks, as the statistics to which I have just referred reflect. Police brutality is a small fraction of the drama, chaos, and confusion going on in the inner city. So they're pushing this as if it were a pandemic or epidemic. Then they are already being deceptive from the beginning. He's exactly got it right. A former police officer and co-founder of the Blexit movement said one need not be a conspiracy theorist to understand this. Statistics show that twice as many unarmed whites are shot by the police each year as unarmed blacks. I repeat. Statistics show twice as many unarmed whites are shot as unarmed blacks. That's a very important number to bear in mind. In 2018, the most recent year for which data is available, blacks made up 53% of homicide offenders, committed 60% of the robberies, while only making up 13% of the population. Now, just to make an observation about how the Democrats argue, since blacks only make up 13% of the population, any increase from 13% of being arrested for homicides or robberies is a form of racism, ignoring the fact that blacks are disproportionately causing the crimes. In other words, you've heard of lies, damn lies, and statistics. Well, this is a Democrat's making damn lies and statistics, faulty reasoning, when you have a subpopulation of a larger population that's particularly violent and criminally disposed, obviously the frequency with which they are going to be arrested for crimes is going to overwhelm that of others if there's any kind of equitable law enforcement. And we're finding deteriorations on that score as well, to which I shall subsequently return. Tatum said his grandmother and those prior to her had just cause to point to racism and inequality because they had actually faced slavery, segregation, and racism. However, that pain and suffering and that mistrust for white Americans has been passed down unjustifiably to next generations, later generations, and we don't deal with those things. And when you have that in a political climate where a certain party that wants your vote is going to tell you what you want to hear and try to play this savior into an invisible problem, you know, they are going to push an agenda. He's, of course, talking about the Democrats. I mean, think about this. We had a black man elected president of the United States with some 65 to 69 million votes by American citizens, not once but twice. How racist is a society that would elect a black American president of the United States not once but twice? Tate went on to explain the real violent crime problem facing African Americans is outside the leftist mainstream media narrative. You know, they're going to push an agenda, and that causes a lot of pain, hurt, real pain and hurt, lumped on top of that confusion. You have this delusional state in the inner city, and then when your father's in prison, your father's been murdered by another black man, it creates a level of hatred toward other black people. He said the solution to violence and death in black communities is focus on the facts, help heal past hurts, and rebuild families. Having a strong father growing up, Tatum knows how important fathers are to children, especially in black communities. The Heritage Foundation, founded in 1988, that the percentage of single-parent households with children between the ages of 12 and 20 is significantly associated with rates of violent crime and burglary. It noted race was not a factor, only the family was not intact. According to a report by the Brookings Institute, in 1965, less than a quarter of Black infants and just over 3% of white were born to single mothers. But by 1990, 25 years later, the rate of infants born to single and married mothers had risen to 64% for Blacks and 18% for white, where the percentage remains similar today. Tatum said Black Lives Matter, a quasi-Marxist organization that's become a household name, is endorsed by major corporations, has raised millions of dollars, but has done nothing to uplift the Black community because that is not its goal. To the unsuspecting person, this seems quite bizarre that the founding of Black Lives Matter is to do the very thing that has damaged the Black community the most, and that's to believe in the absence of the father, they want to destroy the nuclear family. I'm just here as a messenger of things I know and have experience in research, but I think it's invaluable for us to empower ourselves with knowledge. And everyone should do their own research to prove that whatever you hear from me, from anyone else, is true and factual. And I just observe the way the Democrats are going after domestic extremists. You think that the looting, the arson, the riots of last year, which were aided and abetted by the Democrats again and again and again, were done by White Lives Matter. I mean, the situation's absurd. To further compound, Tucker has been absolutely on fire with his recent programs where he, in my opinion, has in the past shown a certain naivete toward conspiracies. He may, for all I know, still believe Lee Oswald shot JFK, for example, or 19 Islamic terrorists attacked New York City on 9/11. But in relation to the January 6th intrusion into the Capitol, he's been doing brilliant work. He's discussed the 400 arrests from January 6th, questioning why so many indictments mention unindicted co-conspirators, that those persons were FBI agents or FBI informants who drove the plot to attack, which is why 10,000 hours of footage from the Capitol has yet to be released. Carlson has noted many of the indictments mention unindicted co-conspirators. Without fail, the government has thrown the book at most who were present at the Capitol on January 6th. There was a nationwide dragnet to find them. Many are still in solitary confinement tonight. But strangely, some of the key people in January 6th have not been charged. Look at the documents. The government calls them unindicted co-conspirators. What does that mean? It means potentially in every single case they were officers of the FBI. He points to the case of Thomas Caldwell, a 66-year-old former naval officer, allegedly conspiring with members of Oath Keepers to storm the Capitol. Caldwell's charging document says he spent the night before the riot at the same hotel as Person 2. And I mention, in particular, to not out their own members, they refer to some of these as Person 1, 2, 3. Another individual, Person 3, led Caldwell to believe there'd be a quick reaction force participating in their storming. But wait, here's the interesting thing, said Tucker. Person 2 and Person 3 were organizers of the riot. The government knows who they are, but the government has not charged them. Why is that? You know why. They were almost certainly working for the FBI. So FBI operatives were organizing the attack on the Capitol on January 6th, according to government documents. I draw a parallel here with 9/11 research, where the U.S. Geological Survey studied dust samples from 35 locations in Lower Manhattan and discovered there were elements present, including barium, strontium, lithium, lanthanum, tritium, some of which only exist in radioactive forms, that would not have been present had this not been a nuclear event. Anyone who wants to trace the discussion and debate of this subject, by the way, should check out my website at the UNS Review website, What's Wrong with Conspiracy Theories, which has been up about maybe a month now and has over around 950 comments, where there's a strenuous effort to try to defend the official account of 9/11 in spite of overwhelming evidence to the contrary. Whereas in the case of Tucker's disclosure of these documents from the FBI, contradicting the government's official position of January 6, we have the government's own data from the U.S. Geological Survey contradicting the government's official narrative of 9/11. Tucker said there are more than 20 unindicted co-conspiracies mentioned in the Oath Keeper indictments, all playing roles in the conspiracy, who have not been charged for virtually the same activities. He concludes, so it turns out this white supremacist insurrection was again, by the government's own admission in these documents, organized at least in part by government agents. The Fox News host pointed out that Merrick Garland, the attorney general, has identified white supremacist groups as the biggest domestic terror threat currently confronting the United States. But, he observed, the FBI has a long history of tracking and infiltrating them. He observed, two persons involved in the plot to kidnap and kill Michigan Governor Gretchen Whitmer last year were FBI agents. A 2015 Islamist terrorist in Garland, Texas, had been texting with an FBI agent. So because of January 6th, says the chief law enforcement officer of the United States and other members of the Biden cabinet, we must now use law enforcement and military force to arrest, imprison, and otherwise crush anyone who leads opposition to Joe Biden's government. That is their position. They said it out loud. They did it today. We're living through the transformation of a formerly democratic republic to something else. This is an authoritarian system. Tucker also questioned why more than 10,000 hours of footage from the Capitol riot have yet to be released. What could possibly be the reason for that? Even as they call for more openness, we could release those tapes today, but they aren't doing it. Why not? I believe the answer is obvious. It provides overwhelming evidence that this was an orchestrated event. They had prior notice, prior planning. Even the New York Times has admitted as much. Indeed, we had Trump's, it was, according to John Sullivan's brother, where John is a leader of Antifa, John led 226 Antifa members into the Capitol dressed as Trump supporters in order to create the impression that this was an event brought about by Trump supporters. Thinking about this, it has occurred to me that we have Barack Obama to thank once again. You have probably never heard of the Smith-Mundt Act of 1948, which precluded the use of the same techniques of disinformation and propaganda that the CIA was using abroad within the United States. The Smith Modernization Act of 2012 passed just in time to bring a Sandy Hook, however, nullified that act, essentially gutted it. Here's a wonderful article about it. The Smith Modernization Act was buried in the 2012 National Defense Authorization Act for good reason, because it repealed the 1948 Smith-Mundt Act. The Smith-Mundt Act is also known as the U.S. Information and Education Act, which authorized the State Department to engage in propagandizing foreign countries as a form of public diplomacy. The Smith-Mundt Act established that via Broadcasting Board of Governors, Voice of America, Radio Free Europe, the U.S. State Department and Office of Public Affairs were authorized to disseminate propaganda to foreign publics, but were strictly prohibited from releasing that same propaganda in America for public consumption. Put simply, our government was permitted to lie to people in other countries, but not to us here at home. This prohibition was lifted in 2012 from the Smith Modernization Act, was signed into law by President Obama, allowing the same propaganda disseminated by our government to foreign publics to now be released in the U.S. for the very first time. And yes, our government is now also allowed to create propaganda tailored specifically for U.S. public consumption, using any media as it sees fit, while remaining anonymous as a source of the information being reported. This covert activity by our government State Department and Public Affairs Department can only occur with corporate media's full complicity, for which it is well compensated, thanks to the tax dollars appropriated by the Smith Modernization Act. It means that when our own government's propaganda is presented to we the people as news, we are none the wiser that it is scripted, orchestrated, and fully supported with the invisible United States BS, United States bullshit seal of approval. And I guarantee 100% this was passed in time to bring a Sandy Hook and followed in succession by the Boston bombing, Orlando and Dallas, Charlottesville, Parkland, Las Vegas, and now most recently, the January 6th insurrection. It was all propaganda. It was all propaganda. Embarrassingly bad propaganda. Meanwhile, MSNBC was caught stealth editing Joy Reid's bizarre conspiracy theory. If you're unaware of Joy, I regard her as one of the many relatively talented propagandists on MSNBC. While discussing the January 6th riot at the Capitol, Reid downplayed Antifa's role, saying they're just anti-fascists, they don't show up anywhere, before rattling off a bizarre conspiracy theory about the Proud Boys fighting with Antifa and Black Lives Matter so President Trump could impose the Insurrection Act and they would act as a militia. Let's just listen to Louis Gohmert. He's claiming he was being told by Capitol police officers there were going to be this influx of Antifa, who they claimed are basically the devil. They're just anti-fascists. They don't really show up anywhere. We're seeing in some of these cases, and we're Proud Boys and others are saying they anticipated Antifa would come and fight them, that Black Lives Matter supporters would come and fight them, so Trump could then impose the Insurrection Act and they could act as a militia. However, in the version of the episode it uploaded to YouTube, it appears MSNBC removed Reid's bizarre rant, which had been originally published by the Gateway Pundit, without providing an explanation or disclaimer. The timestamp at the bottom right corner of the screen in the original clip was also removed from the YouTube version, no doubt to cover up the edit. You got a loose screw, Dave Rubin said in response to Reid's claims. That's the nicest way I can put it, because Antifa is burning down Portland and Seattle, and they destroyed parts of Los Angeles and San Francisco, and New York City is becoming dangerous, and many other blue cities. When I talk about lie laundering, this is exactly what lie laundering is, he added. You get an MSNBC host telling you what you can see doesn't exist, meaning Antifa burning things down. And then what didn't happen is really the important thing, meaning that the Proud Boys were going to show up. Trump would then use the fighting for the Insurrection Act. And even the executives at Bananas MSNBC thought that was too crazy to air, which is why they cut it, changed the timestamp and everything else. This is just so consistent with how the mainstream media and corporate press works. Meanwhile, a CBS host has offered a bizarre excuse for Walgreens shoplifter caught on camera in San Francisco. You're getting probably something you need. This is unbelievable. Tony DiCoppo, a co-host of CBS This Morning, appeared to defend a man who made headlines this week after brazenly shoplifting from a San Francisco area Walgreens. He came in on his bike. He had a big bag. He's just taking stuff off of the shelf, putting it right in the bag, and then he bikes out. Footage of the incident went viral last week, showing an unidentified male on a bicycle filling a trash bag with what appeared to be hair products. Two persons, including a security guard, filmed the suspect while he took his time placing items in the sack and watched him as he biked down the aisle and out of the store. Dokapul and others discuss the incident on the daytime TV show. After the clip, he began, "So crime is never justified, of course." Co-host Anthony Mation added, "I will say that I think they could have made a little better effort to stop the bicycle. I mean, you could have disrupted the bike." Dokapul added, "Well, I mean, I don't know. You don't need to be a hero over some toothbrushes or whatever it is. That reads also as an act of desperation. I mean, you're not getting rich off of what you take from a Walgreens. You're getting probably something you need." Co-host Vlad Druthers interjected, "I mean, a bag full? They look like hair products, which are valuable. And he's filling his bag full of them." Co-host Adriana Diaz pointed out the items in the bag were indeed hair products, not necessities like toothbrushes or over-the-counter medications. Leanne Melendez, a KGO-TV reporter who saw the suspect shoving merchandise into the trash bag, told her station the suspect, who remains unnamed at time of reporting, sort of ran into me with his bicycle on the way out. "It's hard for me as a journalist to say I won't be involved. I can't get involved. I have to be sort of neutral, but this is also my city. I live in this city, and I see this constantly. Not only Walgreens, but cars in my garage has been broken into twice." She pointed out such crimes are becoming commonplace across the city. At what point do we say enough is enough? We want our city back. Meanwhile, on Wednesday, San Francisco Police Lieutenant Tracy McRae told Fox she has gotten used to shoplifters taking what they want in stores across cities without facing consequences. "What happened at Walgreens has been going on in that city for quite a while. I'm used to it. I mean, we could have a greatest hit compilation of people just walking in and cleaning out the store shelves and security guards. People who are working there just standing by because they can't do anything. All the fingers seem to point to the attorney, district attorney, however, as the cause of the behavior, which I shall return."
And Revolution Radio at freedomslips.com. We'll be right back after this message.
Management would like to take a moment to thank the listeners and hosts for all their support that has made Revolution Radio one of the biggest platforms for free speech in an ever-growing dark world of censorship. Unfortunately, this platform for free speech has never been free. We need the support of the people. It is the people like you, yes, you, that keeps the station in the front lines of the battle against tyranny and oppression. Please help support Revolution Radio so free speech will not be silenced in a world that seems to be going deaf to the real truth. With your support, we will be able to become an even bigger pillar of light in a dark world.
Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com, the number one listener-supported radio station on the planet. Revolution Radio.
Hey, everyone. It's Barbara Jean Lindsay, the Cosmic Oracle. If you have questions about your past lives or future plans, need answers from the cosmos about your love life or career, or just want to keep your finger on the pulse of the planet, check out my show, The Cosmic Oracle, here on Revolution Radio at freedomslips.com.
Was it a conspiracy? Did you know that the police in Boston were broadcasting, "This is a drill, this is a drill," on bullhorns during the marathon? That the Boston Globe was tweeting that a demonstration bomb would be set off during the marathon for the benefit of bomb squad activities? And that one would be set off in 1 minute in front of the library, which happened as the Globe had announced. Peering through the smoke, you could see bodies with missing arms and legs. But there was no blood. The blood only showed up later and came out of a tube. They used amputee actors and a studio-quality smoke machine. Don't let yourself be played. Check out And Nobody Died in Boston Either. Available at moonrockbooks.com. That's moonrockbooks.com.
Join Revolution Radio every Wednesday, 8 p.m. Eastern Time on Studio B for Momentary Zen with host Zen Garcia at freedomslips.com, the People Station.
The opinions expressed on this radio station, its programs, and its website by the hosts, guests, and call-in listeners or chatters are solely the opinions of the original source who expressed them. They do not necessarily represent the opinions of Revolution Radio and FreedomSlips.com, its staff, or affiliates.
You're listening to Revolution Radio, FreedomSlips.com, 100% listener-supported radio, and now we return you to your host.
And, of course, that's exactly right. The opinions you hear on this show are those of Jim Fetzer and his guests, and not those of Revolution Radio, which I admire tremendously. Meanwhile, I was reflecting on what's going on in these Democrat-controlled cities where George Soros programmed to undermine the administration of justice in the United States and contribute to the collapse of America appears to have been highly successful. In particular, for example, San Francisco Police Lieutenant Tracy McRae told Fox she'd gotten used to shoplifters taking what they want in stores across cities without facing consequences. What happened at the Walgreens has been going on in that city for quite a while, McRae said. I'm used to it. I mean, we can have a greatest hit compilation of people just walking in and cleaning out the store shelves and security guards of people who work there just staying by helplessly because they can't do anything. All fingers, however, seem to point to District Attorney Chesa Bowden as the cause of the behavior. San Francisco Police Officers Association President Tony Montoya slammed Bowden's laissez-faire policies, which he said are promoting a criminal's first agenda. This brazen criminal behavior is endured every single day by San Franciscans and is a direct result of District Attorney Chesa Bowden and his enablers' criminal's first agenda, Montoya said. McRae agreed and said Bowden's agenda is destroying the city because criminals are not being prosecuted for any crimes as a felony or commercial burglary and said such theft cases get slapped down to misdemeanors. Now, it's turning out that in San Francisco, for example, many of these stores are having to close. They're having to close because they got so many people coming in just shoplifting so blatantly, such a vast quantity that they're losing money. Now, that's not a way to conduct business. And it's not to the benefit of the community to allow this to happen. But that's what the Democrats are doing again and again and again across the country. And of course, we know they're releasing violent criminals out of prisons on the basis of fanciful COVID threats. Do you have any idea how much time it takes to, you know, after the commission of a crime to track down, use the evidence to track down the suspects, to bring indictments against them, to bring them into courts of law, to have trials, to get them incarcerated, to process them? I mean, each case costs, look, in excess of $100,000, have no doubt about it. That's taxpayer money. And much more, of course, to incarcerate these prisoners, to release them and then let them go back out on the street is a terrible consequence, because it means all that money was forfeited and for naught. You had in the past set an example and removed a threat. You got this bad guy out of the community. You put him in prison. Doing that set an example. You're not only punishing him, but you're discouraging other criminals from doing, you know, other citizens from emulating his actions, doing the same thing. What we've got going here in San Francisco and with other Democrat communities is the opposite. You're being rewarded for your criminal acts. Rewarded for your criminal acts. I mean, this is really beyond belief, but it's a Democrats' strategy and policy. They want this. Think about it. Give this some serious thought. How could you have a district attorney who's going to allow shoplifting with no consequences whatsoever? And this was part and parcel of the BLM and Antifa riots, too. In fact, we've had more recent riots where they're looting shoe stores. They want to pick up some new sneakers, right? So they just loot and protest, and the police stand by and do nothing. I mean, this is disgusting beyond belief. Meanwhile, and this is a truly fascinating story, North Korea defector says even North Korea was not this nuts after attending Ivy League school. This is Yanami Park, escaped the oppressive regime in 2007 at the age of 13. As American educational institutions continue to be called into question, a North Korean defector fears the United States' future is as bleak as North Korea after she attended one of the country's most prestigious universities. Yanami has experienced plenty of struggle and hardship, but she does not call herself a victim. One of several hundred North Korean defectors settled in the United States. Park, 27, transferred to Columbia from a South Korean university in 2016 and was deeply disturbed by what she found. I expected that I was paying this fortune, all this time and energy, to learn how to think, but they are forcing you to think the way they want you to think. I realized, wow, this is insane. I thought America was different. But I saw so many similarities to what I saw in North Korea that I began to worry. Those similarities include anti-Western sentiment, collective guilt, and suffocating political correctness. She saw red flags immediately upon arriving at the school. During orientation, she was scolded by a university staff member for admitting she enjoyed classic literature such as Jane Austen. I said, I love those books. I thought it was a good thing, recalled Park. Then she said, do you know those writers had a colonial mindset? They were racists and bigots and are subconsciously brainwashing you? It only got worse from there, as Yanami realized that every one of her classes at the Ivy League school was infected with what she saw as anti-American propaganda, reminiscent of the sort she'd grown up with. American bastards was one word for North Koreans America was taught growing up. The math problem would say, there are four American bastards, you killed two of them. How many American bastards are left to kill? She was also shocked and confused by issues surrounding gender and language with every class. This is at Columbia. I did a year at Columbia as a graduate student, as my outside minor in philosophy, and then had a very distinguished department, with every class asking students to announce their preferred pronouns. English is my third language. I learned it as an adult. I sometimes still say he or she by mistake, and now they're going to ask me to call them they? How the heck do I incorporate that into my sentences? It was chaos. It felt like a regression in civilization. Even North Korea is not this nuts, she admitted. North Korea was pretty crazy, but not this crazy. After getting into a number of arguments with professors and students, eventually she learned how to just shut up to maintain a good GPA and graduate. In North Korea, she did not know of concepts like love or liberty. because I've seen oppression. I know what it looks like, who by the age of 13 had witnessed people drop dead of starvation right before her eyes. These kids kept saying how they're oppressed, how much injustice they've experienced. They don't know how hard it is to be free. I literally crossed to the middle of the Gobi Desert to be free. But what I did was nothing. So many people fought harder than I and didn't make it. Park and her mother first fled the oppressive North Korean regime in 2017 when she was 13 years old. After crossing into China over the frozen Yalu River, they fell into the hands of human traffickers who sold them into slavery. She for less than 300, her mother for roughly 100. With the help of Christian missionaries, the pair managed to flee to Mongolia, walking across the Gobi Desert to eventually find refuge in South Korea. I'm not quite sure how that transit took place, since the Gobi is obviously not contingent with South Korea, but they made it in any case. In 2015, she published her memoir, In Order to Live, where she described what it took to survive in one of the world's most brutal dictatorships and her harrowing journey to freedom. The people here are just dying to give their rights and power to the government. That scares me the most, she said. She accused American higher education of stopping people's ability to think critically. This is what is happening in America. People see things, but they've just completely lost the ability to think critically. Witnessing the depth of America's ignorance up close has made Yamani question everything about humanity. North Koreans? We don't have internet. We don't have access to any of these great thinkers. We don't know anything. But here, while having everything, people choose to be brainwashed, and they deny it. Having come to America with high hopes and expectation, Yamani expressed her disappointment. You guys have lost common sense to a degree that I, as a North Korean, cannot even comprehend. Where are we going from here? There's no rule of law, no morality, nothing is good or bad anymore. It's complete chaos. I guess that's what they want, to destroy every single thing and rebuild into a communist paradise. I'm sorry to say, I think she's got it exactly right. Maybe it takes an outsider to see things so clearly. Meanwhile, we have a number of developments, too, in relation to the COVID purported pandemic. University of Florida lab finds dangerous pathogens on children's face masks. A laboratory at the University of Florida recently analyzed a small sample of face masks, detecting the presence of 11 dangerous pathogens, including bacteria, that caused diphtheria, pneumonia, and meningitis. Gainesville parents in Florida, concerned about the harm caused to their children wearing face masks all day at 90-degree weather, sent six masks, five worn by children 6 to 11 for 5 to 8 hours at school, one worn by an adult, to be analyzed for contaminants at the University of Florida's Mass Spectrometry Research and Education Center. Of the six masks, three were surgical, two cotton, and a polygator. Masks that had not been worn and a T-shirt worn at school acted as control samples. Five of the masks were found to be contaminated with parasites, fungi, and bacteria. Only one mask was found to contain a virus that can cause a fatal systemic disease in cattle and deer. Other less harmful pathogens that can cause ulcers, acne, and strep throat were also detected. None of the controls were contaminated with pathogens, while samples from the front, top, and bottom of the T-shirt found proteins that are commonly found in skin and hair, along with some commonly found in soil, indicating, of course, that it had been worn. Amanda Donahoe, a mother of three elementary school children, teamed up with other parents to send the masks to the lab because her sons broke out in rashes from prolonged mask wearing. Our kids have been in masks all day, 7 hours a day in school. The only break they get is to eat or drink. Donahue said, while students do not have to wear a mask outside at school since April, masks are still required when they're within 6 to 8 feet of each other and must be worn on school buses. Further research is needed to better understand what's being put on children's faces. Superintendent Carly Simon at the Alachua County Public Schools in Gainesville did not respond to a request for comment. The director of the CDC says kids should continue to wear masks and social distance until they're able to get vaccinated, despite data showing children are minimally affected by COVID-19 and are not super spreaders of the virus. Governor Ron DeSantis, a Republican, signed an executive order May 3rd suspending all COVID-19 emergency restrictions, including mask wearing. However, certain school districts, like this Alachua, kept their mask policy in place for the remainder of the school year, while masks were optional within the communities. They claim masks will be optional for the 21-22 school year, continue to be required on school buses until mid-September. The CDC says masks are still required on planes, trains, buses, and in airports. In an updated June 17th guidance, masks are no longer required in outdoor areas of a conveyance, like a ferry or the top of a bus, and fully vaccinated individuals may resume everyday activities prior to the pandemic without mask wearing or physically distancing, unless required by federal or state law. People are considered fully vaccinated 2 weeks after their second shot of a messenger mRNA vaccine or a single dose of Johnson & Johnson. As I've reported many times and continue to emphasize, Sherry Tenpenny has described these mRNA vaccines as perfectly designed killing machines. And we have all kinds of reports of, you know, famous people, athletes, young people, whatever, dying shortly after being administered these vaccines. Believe me, if you can't avoid it, by all means, avoid it. And when I say your life may depend upon it, I am not joking. The problem is that it appears those who are vaccinated also have shedding, meaning they can share the effects with non-vaccinated in close proximity, which many of us are going to incur, sad to say. My wife, for example, received her vaccination without even informing me. The CDC did not give guidance for those who've recovered from COVID and have natural immunity or would have if these were ordinary vaccines, but they are not, or if this were a bona fide pandemic, which it is not. The University of Florida has now issued a statement, surprise, surprise. The CDC is still pushing mask wearing for kids, even though the benefit isn't there. Dr. Fauci, Tony the Rat, whom I have asserted again and again is going to be the greatest mass murderer in history, is also pushing for ever younger children to get vaccinated, even though the evidence of a child getting seriously ill from COVID is minimal. More importantly, the CDC's own study shows wearing a mask is taking a huge toll on kids. Get this. Data released by the CDC found visits to emergency departments for suspected suicide attempts by adolescent girls are up over 50% in the past year and a half. They also found the proportion of emergency department visits related to mental health were up 24% for children 5 to 11, 31% for adolescents 12 to 17. Parents now have even more reason to take the mask off their child. A recent study at a lab at the University of Florida analyzed a small sample of face masks and detected 11 dangerous pathogens that include bacteria that cause diphtheria, pneumonia, and meningitis. Of course, the University of Florida backtracked to say they believe the CDC studies that wearing a mask is best, even though there are many conflicting theories. Interestingly, the statement talks about the importance of chain of custody. So that's regarding the face mask submitted. So isn't it also important to know the chain of custody for ballots in an election? They make as an aside, impeccable point. Here's what they're saying now. The University of Florida Mass Spectrometry Research and Education Center routinely conducts lab tests for members of the public as requested, as it did for Ms. Donahoe. However, it's important to note we had no way of establishing the chain of custody for the mask or what conditions they were exposed prior to the lab. to draw any conclusions is premature. I mean, how ridiculous is this? And a more controlled, peer-reviewed research is warranted. So what are they going to have to do? Have their lab agents out with kids wearing masks and then track them all the way to the lab? This is just insulting. It all started when Amanda Donahue and other parents in Gainesville, concerned about the potential harm of prolonged mask wearing, sent 6 face masks to the lab for analysis and found 5 of them were contaminated with bacteria, parasites, and fungi, including 3 with dangerous pathological and pneumonia-causing bacteria. Meanwhile, we have known all along that these masks do no good whatsoever, cannot possibly provide any benefit from the virus. Here's an early tweet back on June 19th. Actually, this was June 19th of last year, 2020. An N95 mask filters out particulate matter larger than 0.3 microns. So the question then is, how big is a COVID particle? A COVID particle is about 0.1 micron. This idea of people doing anything particularly useful with a laugh with a mask is just Looney Tunes. This is an observation from Minnesota Senator Dr. Scott Jensen, who's also an MD, who was the first to blow the whistle on that hospitals were being given, you know, $13,000 for every patient they identified as COVID and $39,000 for everyone they put on a ventilator. Here's an interesting story. NFL player Cole Beasley vows not to take COVID-19 jab or follow the league's draconian rules, even if he has to retire. This guy is a pretty famous ball player. Buffalo Bills wide receiver Cole Beasley has declared he won't be inoculated against COVID-19 or abide by new NFL restrictions on unvaccinated players and would sooner be forced into retirement than betray his beliefs. "I'll play for free this year to live life how I've lived it from day one," he said Friday. "If I'm forced into retirement, so be it. I've enjoyed the times I've had. I'll get to live freely, my wife, kids, and extended family forever," meaning for the rest of his life. The message, which Beasley called a public service announcement, came after the NFL sent out a memo announcing players who weren't fully vaccinated would be required to be tested daily, wear masks, and refrain from leaving the team hotel. I mean, it's outrageous. Here's a list of what they state for the fully vaccinated versus the not fully. No daily testing requirement. Testing requirement every day. Masks not required at club facility or during team travel. Masks required at club facility and during team travel. Just think of the ignorance behind all of this. No physical distancing required in club facility with other vaccinated. Must remain physically distant from others in club facility. No quarantine required after high-risk exposure to COVID. Must quarantine after high-risk exposure to COVID. No travel restrictions. Travel restrictions in effect. No capacity limits in the weight room, 15-player limit in the weight room. It goes on and on and on. Vaccinated players would be tested once every 2 weeks, wouldn't be required to wear masks, would be allowed to visit with friends and family members. They can also take part in commercials and other sponsorship activities, use social media, and move about freely on team trips. Beasley ripped into the NFL Players Association on Thursday for agreeing to the new rules. He caused the union a joke, saying it didn't truly represent the players. Friday, he made it clear he would not comply with a new two-tiered framework. At stake for Beasley is what remains of the 4-year, $29 million contract he signed with the Bills before the 2019 season. He's scheduled to make as much as $5.84 million in the upcoming season, $6.1 million in 2022. Beasley has much more to lose than when he entered the league as an undrafted free agent with the Cowboys in 2012, making $480,500 a year. Listed at just 5'8" and 174 pounds, he was considered a long shot to thrive in a league dominated by bigger, faster, and stronger players. But he has succeeded. "I love my teammates and enjoy playing ball, because all the outside BS goes out the window in these moments. I just want to win the Super Bowl and enjoy these relationships created along the way. Beasley added, many NFL players share his views on vaccine choice, but they aren't in the right place in their careers to be so outspoken. I feel for you, and I hope I'm doing my part to represent you guys well. Meanwhile, we even have a family group staying at a summer rental at Powers Lake. This is in Wisconsin. Has invited a quick helper for 5 to 7 days, but they add, we cannot afford to take any chances. All the family members are fully vaccinated against COVID-19. Please do not apply for this gig if you are not fully vaccinated. Thanks for your understanding. Bear in mind, Tony Fauci has known that masks don't do any good. In fact, they do tremendous harm. A study that he and his colleagues conducted in relation to the Spanish flu, which actually did take, you know, tens of millions of lives, discovered most did not die from the flu, but from bacterial pneumonia infections, which, guess what, are promoted by wearing face masks. I mean, think about it. If face masks are recycling oxygen-depleted air. Obviously, that deprives your brain of oxygen it needs. It kills brain cells. Unlike other cells of your body, like skin cells, brain cells do not replenish. They do not regrow. The brain cell damage, therefore, is irrevocable. It also put a colossal strain on your cardiovascular system. It is, in my opinion, tragic to see young student athletes, girls, for example, playing soccer wearing face masks. One expert has described this as a criminal act. Go to my blog at jamesfetzer.org and do a search on face masks. Watch, especially read the article from the American Association of Physicians and Surgeons, which is the most prominent scientific medical association in the country. And you'll find their views on face masks are completely opposed, explaining they're inappropriate. There's even a study showing face masks aren't even helpful in surgery, except to keep spittle from affecting the patient who's undergoing the surgery itself. I'll be right back.
Radio at freedomslips.com. We'll be right back after this message.
Was it a conspiracy? Did you know that the police in Boston were broadcasting, "This is a drill, this is a drill," on bullhorns during the marathon? That the Boston Globe was tweeting that a demonstration bomb would be set off during the marathon for the benefit of bomb squad activities? And that one would be set off in 1 minute in front of the library, which happened as the Globe had announced. Peering through the smoke, you could see bodies with missing arms and legs, but there was no blood. The blood only showed up later and came out of a tube. They used amputee actors and a studio quality smoke machine. Don't let yourself be played. Check out And Nobody Died in Boston Either. Available at moonrockbooks.com. That's moonrockbooks.com.
If you think for 1 second that the Capitol will ever treat us fairly, you are lying to yourself. Because we know who they are and what they do. This is what they do, and we must fight back. You can torture us and bomb us. Fire is catching. And if we burn, you burn with us.
Good evening.
Are you awake yet? I hope. We've tried and we've tried for years and years to use passive resistance and loud voices to make a change. But time is over. Your governments around the world have no other goal than to decimate your entire existence at the hands of the bankers and the elites. The war is coming, and it's your choice to decide if you want to be a warrior or a victim. Denial is not a choice anymore. Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com, the number one listener-supported radio station on the planet, not giving up. Revolution Radio.
Even the government admits that 9/11 was a conspiracy. But did you know that it was an inside job? That Osama had nothing to do with it? That the Twin Towers were blown apart by a sophisticated arrangement of mini or micro nukes? That Building 7 collapsed 7 hours later because of explosives planted in the building? Barry Jennings was there. He heard them go off and felt himself stepping over dead people. The U.S. Geological Survey conducted studies of dust gathered from 35 locations in Lower Manhattan and found elements that would not have been there had this not been a nuclear event. Ironically, that means the government's own evidence contradicts the government's official position. 9/11 was brought to us compliments of the CIA, the neocons of the Department of Defense, and the Mossad. Don't let yourself be played. Read America Nuked on 9/11. Available at moonrockbooks.com. That's moonrockbooks.com.
The opinions expressed on this radio station, its programs, and its website by the hosts, guests, and call-in listeners or chatters are solely the opinions of the original source who expressed them. They do not necessarily represent the opinions of Revolution Radio and freedomslips.com, its staff, or affiliates.
You're listening to Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com, 100% listener-supported radio, and now we return you to your host.
Well, I do have more stories to report upon. I want to invite callers to the show. The number 540-352-4452. Mitchell will field your call. Let me know you're there, and I'll bring you in for the conversation. I repeat, 540-352-4452. Call in. We'll get you on the air and discuss what's on your mind. Meanwhile, we have more reports from voter fraud, in this case from Georgia, where the Secretary of State, Raffensperger, received a report showing egregious election issues, yet concealed the report and claimed the state had safe, secure, and honest elections. In other words, way back when he was informed earlier this week, it came out that he'd been told that he told 60 Minutes the state of Georgia had safe, secure, and honest elections when he knew it was not true. The Gateway Pundit, which, by the way, is a pretty good publication, exposed the Georgia election officials repeatedly feeding thousands of ballots through the voting machines late at night in Atlanta after election observers were sent home. I've seen the footage of this myself, where they took the very same ballots and ran them through the voting machine again and again and again, which is why you can have a massive discrepancy between the number of ballots tallied and the number of physical ballots on the scene. Raffensperger is responsible, admitting the chain of custody for documents legally required by state law missing from 24% of the ballots. Now, that could be right there, how much of the vote they affected by this simple technique. John Sullivan has now reported an audit of documents found that more than 100 batches of absentee ballots are missing in Fulton County, Georgia, showing that the report... it shows in the report, it shows the report was created for the Secretary of State's office. So a massive chain of custody problem was informed. Raffensperger's office was informed of a massive chain of custody problem by the contractor, Carter Jones. And nevertheless, Raffensperger continued to insist Georgia had a perfect election. His own report, which he kept concealed until now, however, shows rampant abuse, potential criminal activity, and corruption. He hid the memo from the people of Georgia and of the United States, claiming he oversaw a safe, secure, and honest election, even as he knew he had not. This is outrageous and insulting. More and more is emerging about the theft of the election. Or as many as 20 states have now visited the audit taking place in Maricopa County, Arizona. I have no doubt that the dimensions of the election fraud are going to be fully confirmed by these audits, where we already know that it was breathtaking in its sweep. And that, well, the Democrats for 4 years insisted that Trump was an illegitimate president, that the vote had been manipulated by foreign Russian interference, for which there was never any evidence. They bristle at the very thought there could be anything wrong with this ridiculous outcome in 2020, when nobody gave a damn about Joe Biden, where he'd run for president 3 times, and until South Carolina, yep, he had yet to win a single caucus or a single primary. Zilch, nada, none. And where Kamala, this nitwit vice president, was the first Democrat to fall out of the race. She didn't even make it to Iowa. And just as an illustration for emphasis, when Biden and Kamala made a joint appearance in Phoenix in just weeks before the election, no one turned out. Under these circumstances, does anyone seriously believe that Joe Biden won just an historic election? I mean, what complete unrestrained bullshit coming from the Democrat Party, which really ought to be renamed the Undemocrat Party because they're anything but Democratic. Meanwhile, we have a couple of callers standing by. Bruce from Texas on the line. Bruce, join the conversation.
Yeah, I was on mute this time, so you didn't get the background voice.
Good.
Okay. Yeah, you know, Merrick Garland, man, he's like a Soviet commissar in chief, you know. This, are you aware of the conditions that the Capitol protesters are being kept in Washington, D.C. jails?
No, but I'll bet it's very poor.
It's like Hanoi Hilton or Guantanamo Bay, you know. I'm reading from the Daily Mail .com.uk, so you got to bear with me because I'm sure you're aware they load up their pages with all this adware and stuff and get to skip every other paragraph through a bunch of garbage to get to the meat of the issue. Exclusive, this is from the 2nd of this month, so this isn't back in January, February. It's like Guantanamo Bay inside the Washington, D.C. jail, where Capitol rioters are treated like domestic terrorists, assaulted, taunted, and locked up in closet-sized cells up to 24 hours a day. The Washington, D.C. jail, where dozens of Capitol rioters are housed before their trials, is like Guantanamo Bay, as a lawyer representing one of the protesters told the DailyMail.com. The suspects are kept in solitary confinement in cells the size of walk-in closets for up to 24 hours and treated like domestic terrorists by jail guards. Let me see. One of them was beaten so bad that he may lose an eye. His jaw is wired shut. They threaten them with one of them. The guard said he's going to go and rape his wife if they're not allowed to communicate. It's like a gulag, you know. The jail guards are doing their best to get guys to break us down mentally. We do our best to help out whatever guy was suffering that day. I mean, that sounds like reports I've read from Hanoi Hilton. And, you know, this country is going down fast. I don't know what you have to say about it.
Well, Well, I'm afraid I agree. I mean, the Democrats are doing everything they can to destroy the nation as rapidly as possible. I mean, all this stuff at the border, it's a Kalergi plan. They're trying to change the population in the United States by importing, you know, foreign immigrants who are, the Democrats expect are going to vote Democratic, who are going to disrupt traditional voting patterns here in the United States. It's going on in Europe, too. They really are hoping to alter the racial composition of the United States also through intermarriage. Jews are very, very tight about, you know, marrying within the Jewish faith and not marrying non-Jews. It happens intermittently. On the other hand, this plot from a key Zionist, and I do repeatedly emphasize the difference between Zionism and Judaism, because to be anti-Zionist is not to be anti-Semitic, even though the Israelis, in their propaganda efforts, would have us believe otherwise, are seeking to destroy the cultures of Europe, and they're doing a pretty good job of it by mass migration from Africa. So they're doing the analog of mass migration from South America and Central America into the United States. Trump had a handle on it. This was one of the, in my opinion, very important measures he took on behalf of America and American citizens by tightening up the border, imposing the wall, and all that. He had a handle on it. Biden and Harris have let it go. And, of course, we had the embarrassing trip to Guatemala by Harris, where she was greeted by signs saying, "Go home," and Trump won. And then on her interview with Lester Holt, whom I do not admire, but in this instance did the right thing, he nailed her on not going to the border, which she flippantly tossed off by saying she hadn't gone to Europe either. But we don't have a border with Europe that's being flooded with, you know, refugees purported who actually aren't coming on any proper ground. I mean, if we only adopted the policies of Mexico, we'd be overwhelmingly better off. If you were going the other direction, seeking to immigrate from the United States into Mexico, you'd have to satisfy at least the following two conditions. Number one, you'd have to show you had something to contribute to the good of Mexico. Maybe you're a welder or a teacher or a farmer or a carpenter. That would be to the good of Mexico. Number two, you have to show that you have the financial resources to support yourself and your family so you don't impose a burden upon Mexico. We're doing none of the above. We're admitting people who have no discernible qualification, most certainly nothing to contribute to the good of America, and do not have the financial resources. So we're fulfilling what Bibi Netanyahu described as his plan to destroy America in 2020. He told a group that America is a golden calf. We're going to suck it dry and turn it into the world's greatest welfare state, because that's what we do with nations we hate. Every sociologist, political scientist, historian knows you cannot combine a welfare state with open borders, because you're going to overwhelm the system and it will collapse. This is what the Democrats are promoting. Bruce, why don't you stand by while I bring in Scott, and then I'll come back to you. Scott in San Diego, join the conversation, Scott.
Yeah, good morning, Jim. Can you hear me?
Yes.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I just kind of on a side note here. You know, by definition, they're saying that the majority of these people coming in are minors. Okay, well, I mean, they're unskilled dependents. There's no field workers or ditch diggers in that group.
Right. You, by the way, being in San Diego, are particularly aware of the events that are taking place there, where I resided in San Diego for 2 years and 1964 to 66, when I was at the recruit depot there as a series commander with 15 DIs and 300 recruits under my command. Go ahead, Scott.
MCRD, yeah.
MCRD. San Diego is just a beautiful city. Go ahead.
Yeah. So what I, kind of a side note, I was thinking about this thing about with Klaus Schwab and the economic forum talking about we're all going to rent and be happy. There's one aspect of that that I haven't heard anybody discuss, which is the point that if you're renting, you don't have any property rights and your privacy can be violated at any time.
Yes, that's a very good point. Yes, absolutely. The idea of putting out political tripe like, you know, it's 2030 and I own nothing and I'm happier than I've ever been. I mean, what unadulterated bullshit. I mean, who would believe that? Owning nothing, yeah. You're happier, so you have no car, no house, no home, no property, no personal property whatsoever. This is just insane.
And no right to privacy.
And, as you observed, no privacy. Yes, that's, I think you're spot on.
And I would suggest that to anybody that if you're ever asked if you have been taking the vaccine, ask that person if they have anal warts.
Anal warts?
Yeah. Well, that's a medical question.
I'm not quite sure what to make of that. What are you suggesting?
When somebody asks you if you've been vaccinated, you ask them if they have anal warts.
Scott, I'm sure there's a point there that I'm just missing. You mean you're telling me that's an equally intrusive personal question? Is that the idea? Yeah. Give them sarcasm, reply with a sarcasm with sarcasm. Yeah. Scott, why don't you stand by while I bring back Bruce? Bruce, go ahead and call for comments, perhaps even on Scott's remarks.
Yeah, that's pretty funny, but a little personal. Where's Amnesty International addressing this violation of the human rights side? You know, where are they at? Nowhere, but I can see.
Well, we got a serious problem here with an administration, a government of the United States that's seeking to destroy the United States, and I can find no other way to qualify it. The event at the Capitol was completely, fake, phony. Obama authorized all this nonsense with the Smith-Mundt Act, nullification of 2012. Just in time to bring a Sandy Hook. And now you're seeing further exemplifications. They don't care about truth. They don't care about principle. They only care about control. And the idea of, demonizing the military, going after, extremists in the military is simply absurd. They're going after Trump supporters. That's what they're doing. Donald Trump has thrown the scare into them like nothing they've ever seen before. He cut across Democrat constituencies back in 2019, December. Rasmussen issued a report that 40% of black likely voters were going to support Trump. I think that scared the bejesus out of the Democrats, and they knew they had to do something stunning. And of course, they were going to support Trump because by tightening down at the border, he enabled those who are the lowest earning wage earners to see their wages rise at the highest rate. These are blacks and Latinos alike who had previously been undercut by the newly arriving immigrants. So big agribusiness loves this because they get workers on the cheap. They don't pay them any bonuses. Trump should have gone after big agribusiness, in my opinion, and penalized them severely for hiring undocumented aliens. Bruce, we're getting more background noise there. I'm going to return to Scott. Scott, do you have further thoughts you'd like to add?
Yeah, I have. There's one thing that I'm going to kind of take you out in left field here about the Kennedy assassination. There's something that I can't quite square. Now, I might have believed that the story was supposed to be the lone gunman, Lee Harvey Oswald, was supposed to have shot the president, and he was set up as a patsy, right?
Sure.
Okay, well, if they intended for it to look like one person shot him, then why did they set up multiple shooters from different directions?
Well, they weren't supposed to be discovered. No one was supposed to discover there were any other shooters, but I mean, look, there were
actually... but wouldn't bullet holes from different directions be discovered?
Scott, you're ignoring the fact that the government would control all the evidence. They actually took the limo back to Ford and had it torn down and completely rebuilt to destroy any evidence related to the limousine. And they stole the body out of Parkland. Normally, the body is the best evidence. And then they flew it off to Walter Reed, and they had the best forensic pathologist in the military remove diverse slugs so that different calibers wouldn't be discovered. And then they altered the x-rays and actually even physically the body. So they felt they had a pretty good handle on the cover-up. That's why my books, my initial trilogy, Assassination Science 1998, Murder in Dealey Plaza 2000, and The Great Zapruder Film Hoax 2003 are so important. Because they show that the autopsy x-rays were altered to conceal a fist-sized blowout at the back of the head, that there was actually evidence internal to the x-rays of a second shot to the head, that the brain shown in photographs and diagrams in the National Archives is not even the brain of JFK, and that the home movies, including the Zapruder, were massively edited to conceal the true causes of death. And when you understand the amount to which the evidence was altered or manufactured, you realize this could not have been done by the KGB, for example, which could not have extended its reach into Bethesda Naval Hospital to affect x-rays under the control of naval officers and agents of the Secret Service, that pro or anti-Castro Cubans couldn't have substituted someone else's brain in diagrams and photographs, that the mafia couldn't have had access to the Zapruder film, so that, you know, major potential suspects in the case are thereby eliminated when you discover how the cover-up was carried out, and it winds up focusing on a very small number of suspects, including, of course, the participation of the Secret Service in the assassination, where I've uncovered 15 indications of Secret Service complicity in setting him up for the hit and covering it up. So what you're overlooking is they had so much control. They were even taking witnesses out of Dealey Plaza and subjecting them to interrogation on the spot right there in the immediate aftermath of the event, Scott.
All right. Well, that was just a kind of a logical disconnect that I found there, but I mean, if that's how it happened, I mean, I could understand, you know, if they felt they had control of the scene and control of the autopsy, then yeah, it wouldn't matter how many bullets were in them.
Exactly. That's how it was set up. But there were a large number of assassins. There actually were 8. I've identified 6 in terms of their location, their identity, the shots they fired, the effect they had. Ole Domegaard is 7th, with which I agree. And then there's an 8th heretofore unidentified who was on the South Knoll. There was a single tree there. You wouldn't think it would be a suitable location for a shooter, but I've seen photographs in possession of 2 different students of the assassination of the rifleman standing holding his rifle. They're 2 different photographs. There's no doubt he was there. So,
right. So about Mr. Fauci. So at first he said, masks are not necessary, right?
Yes.
And then he came out and said, okay, masks are necessary. And then when he was pulled over on it, he says, oh, well, I just said that so there wouldn't be a run on surgical masks. That's what he said, right?
Yeah, but that's absurd. And you know, clearly right, shows this man is not credible, that he's corrupt right there by his own admission.
Right. But then he comes out and says, well, he just said, okay, but then it doesn't make sense because he could have come out earlier and said, well, you can use a bandana or a t-shirt or whatever, you know, and then he comes out and says, oh, well, I changed my mind because of the science.
Well,
so what was it? Did he change his mind because of science or because he was trying to save a run on masks?
Well, he's supposed to know the science. Remember, Fauci is the highest paid member of the executive branch. He is the guy who's supposed to prepare us for pandemics and the like. And yet in 2017, he announced that the Trump administration would be confronted not only by seasonal flu and AIDS and AZT, but a surprise pandemic, which is absurd. How could it be a surprise if Fauci knows in 2017? And since he's the guy who's supposed to prepare us for pandemics, why didn't he prepare us? I think the answer is a bit too obvious.
Well, it's like presumably Event 201 was supposed to be a preparedness drill. So why were they not prepared?
Well, 201 was actually just a simulation of what they were going to actually do, the carrying out of the pandemic. So, you know,
right. I mean, but they did the drill to find out where the weak points are if something like this happens. Right. I mean, that's the whole purpose of the drill, to find the weak points so that you can strengthen the weak points.
Scott, if it were a bona fide drill, but what they were doing was showing exactly what they planned to do, and that's they followed the plan with very close proximity. I mean, you know, then this was just it was like a planning session for what they were about to unleash on the world.
And as far as the gain of function research, do I understand right that the story is that they do gain of function in order to preemptively create antidotes for in case this disease may develop naturally? Is that
well, they might claim that to be the reason, but gain of function is to develop a bioweapon. So you take
I know what it is.
Yeah.
Yeah, we know what it's for. But I would like to hear one of these senators ask him, do you think it's possible that you can genetically alter a virus and it will be genetically identical to anything that would occur in nature to where you could make a vaccine for it preemptively?
Well, Scott, I mean, it's gain of function is because it isn't there in nature. You take something that is natural and you artificially strengthen it for improper purposes, presumably, but you need a plausible reason for doing it. And they claim, therefore, it's to, you know, prepare against it, but that's not what's really going on. We're hitting the break,
right,
Scott. Stand by. We'll be right back.
Radio at freedomslips.com. We'll be right back after this message.
Management would like to take a moment to thank the listeners and hosts for all their support that has made Revolution Radio one of the biggest platforms for free speech in an ever-growing dark world of censorship. Unfortunately, this platform for free speech has never been free. We need the support of the people. It is the people like you, yes, you, that keeps the station in the front lines of the battle against tyranny and oppression. Please help support Revolution Radio so free speech will not be silenced in a world that seems to be going deaf to the real truth. With your support, we will be able to become an even bigger pillar of light in a dark world.
Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com, the number one listener-supported radio station on the planet. Revolution Radio.
Join Revolution Radio every Wednesday, 8 p.m. Eastern Time on Studio B for Momentary Zen with host Zen Garcia at freedomslips.com, the People Station.
Even the government admits that 9/11 was a conspiracy. But did you know that it was an inside job, that Osama had nothing to do with it? That the Twin Towers were blown apart by a sophisticated arrangement of mini or micro nukes? That Building 7 collapsed 7 hours later because of explosives planted in the building? Barry Jennings was there. He heard them go off and felt himself stepping over dead people. The U.S. Geological Survey conducted studies of dust gathered from 35 locations in Lower Manhattan and found elements that would not have been there had this not been a nuclear event. Ironically, that means the government's own evidence contradicts the government's official position. 9/11 was brought to us compliments of the CIA, the neocons in the Department of Defense, and the Mossad. Don't let yourself be played. Read America Nuked on 9/11. Available at moonrockbooks.com. That's moonrockbooks.com.
The opinions expressed on this radio station, its programs, and its website by the hosts, guests, and call-in listeners or chatters are solely the opinions of the original source who expressed them. They do not necessarily represent the opinions of Revolution Radio and freedomslips.com, its staff, or affiliates.
You're listening to Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com, 100% listener-supported radio, and now we return you to your host.
We have a Green Beret explain how he and others had been contacted by the FBI to spy on patriot groups. That's obviously very revealing of the role in the FBI here, as well as Tucker's absolutely sensational exposés. A lot also going on out there where officials are threatening people who are demanding election audits in Nevada. These are all going to go forward, in my opinion, and reveal the extent to which the whole election was stolen. Scott, did you have a further comment you want to make? We've got Scarity standing by. Go ahead, Scott. If Scott's no longer with us, Scarity, join the conversation. Mitchell. Are we no longer in contact? Ah,
Jim, I lost my internet contact. I'll get your callers back. We're on.
We're still on the air. Okay, I'll go ahead with some other reports while you bring them back, Mitchell. Sorry. Good. We had an interesting development here at the equivalent of a straw poll, where Florida Governor DeSantis edged out Donald Trump in the Western Conservative Summit's presidential straw poll. Florida Governor DeSantis scored something of an upset this weekend, finishing slightly ahead of former President Trump in the Western Conservative Summit straw poll of the 2024 election. DeSantis led the vote with about 75 to Trump's roughly 72% in the highly unscientific poll, which was conducted online using the approval voting method. You'll notice 75 and 72 is 147, obviously more than 100%. So we're not talking about a normal poll distributed over 100 points. This is a poll where you can name all your preferences. There are a very large number of candidates here, and you're allowed to pick multiple candidates, which minimizes spoilers and sabotage, gives viability and visibility to minor candidates. This is a pretty interesting development. Other possible presidential contenders trailed, with Ted Cruz 42% support, Secretary of State Pompeo 40, South Carolina Tim Scott 37, Kristi Noem and Tom Cotton nearly tied at about 30%. Senator Rand Paul, 29, Donald Trump Jr., 25, and former VP Mike Pence, 21. This is an interesting development. I do believe DeSantis has been doing a very good job, with perhaps some recent exceptions. I'm glad to say we have Scaredy Cat back. Scaredy, join the conversation.
Hi, Jim and Mitch, and also hello to Bruce from Texas and Scott from San Diego. So you gentlemen, I have maybe 3 points, but maybe I'll just get to one or two. You gentlemen have been discussing the destruction of especially European culture, but also other, I might add, just worldwide cultures all over our planet Earth. So, Jim, you mentioned European culture. Bruce from Texas mentioned the Christian patriots. What I regard as the picnicking, happy tourism, flag-waving atmosphere of the Capitol rally, citizens going to celebrate their patriotism, being now mislabeled and be written into the history books along with current punishments as terrorism. In other words, a complete disconnection from reality, you know. So European culture, this is American Christian culture. And also what Scott from San Diego was saying, that apartment dwellers have no privacy. Their life is whatever their next door apartment dweller might snitch on. And also the landlord at any minute can intrude. And the money, of course, always going to the landlord. And the apartment dweller, although he's working for a salary every month and paying most of his salary over to have a roof over his house, never owns that room. And so that goes along with an attack on Buddhist culture. Our radio host, Brian Rue, I just saw his podcast yesterday. He's been evicted again due to this, I call it the Ko-Yid hoax. He over Christmas, so this is now June, half a year later, over Christmas he had two guests over to celebrate Christmas. His apartment the dweller next door, snitched on him, and now he has had some back and forth with judges and legal notices, and he was just evicted. And thankfully, he was worried for a fortnight or so, but now finally he's found another random apartment. So at least he's not homeless, but he was worried for a fortnight he would be homeless.
Let me just comment on that. I was in contact with Brian yesterday because he put out an announcement about putting up furniture for free. It included photographs of his then present apartment, which was very nice. He's now moving into a room that's something like 9 by 11. I mean, this is a staggering downgrade in his living circumstances. He's been a very strong proponent of truth. I did some of my most important interviews and presentation with Brian Rue, including 9/11, who is responsible and why, JFK, who is responsible and why, Sandy Hook update, Tracy loses, Wolfgang wins, the deep state strikes back. All those were with Brian Rue. So I'm very, very concerned and troubled this happened to him. I was concerned it had something to do with his having done these shows with me and was relieved, at least to the extent that that was not the case. And what you're explaining that is apparently how it came about, violating COVID restrictions. This is just a bloody shame, Scarity, and I'm glad you're pointing it out.
And to go along, Brian is a Buddhist. So this is, he doesn't, you know, this is an attack on the Buddhist culture. The Christian patriots, American patriots on the Capitol Mall, that's an attack on Christian culture. Today is the summer solstice, and England is more poetically, the English, of course, it's there, goes back to the Druid cultures, maybe from 4, 5, 6, 7,000 years ago. The Stonehenge celebration, connection with nature. Today is the longest day. I think it occurred, technically, it's the moon, not the moon, the sun is overhead on the Tropic of Cancer. Technically, it occurred 3:32, I think, a.m., Greenwich Mean Time through the prime meridian through the Greenwich Observatory in England. Now, that they are not even Christians, the Druids, and it's an attack on them because they went to celebrate the sunrise, and the Wiltshire Police, which is again, you know, part of worldwide government, were there to drag off the revelers, the joy livers. You know, they were celebrating the sun, our connection to nature. And so, Jim, and also you made the other connection to things happening, all these bad things, especially 10 times worse in Democrat cities. You know, of course, I call them the Demolishocrat Party, the Demolishocrat Corporation Party cities. Now, I want to point out to you, Jim, that there is not such a distinct line between what you are presenting as innocent Jews and Jews who are Zionists. It's not a completely disconnected Venn diagram. Those two circles have overlap, and the overlap is that Jews are mostly Zionist, even if there are 15 million of that culture, Jew culture, living human beings in our human family today. And, you know, 6 million of them, there's your real 6 million living Jews are stealing Christian and Muslims' land inch by inch, brick by brick, swing set by swing set, olive tree by olive tree, in Christian and Palestine's country, land which they have lived for 1,500 years, practically unwarred. There's been no wars except a couple of times, a couple of decades here and there. In the Middle Ages, you had the Crusades. And then, of course, there was a lot of the blood was soaking the streets. But other than that, you've had 1,500 years of continuous, juxtaposed, unabated peace. And there is, on the comment sections in the podcast that we listen to, Truth Seekers listen to, there's such a push for Jew propaganda to say there's never been such a thing as Palestine. And we have to really emphasize that the 6 million Jews, that's practically half or one-third, one-fourth of all the living Jews today, are stealing land and committing cruelty and telling their cousins over in America and England who are... the Jew cousins over in America and England and over all TV, radio stations and newspapers across the world, they're telling them to deceive us that is a good thing that's happening, this cruelty that's happening in Palestine. So that's one third of them right there. The other third live in New York, where they are Wall Street. They are just crushing us to dust by property owning up all farmland, owning up all houses, all apartment buildings, and so I do want to say that what's so lovable about you, Jim, is you're so sunny. Funny sometimes, yeah, F for fantastic, but such a sunny-hearted, S for super, soul. And you see, like, the good in everybody. But I want to tell you a little bit what you're doing, don't go dangerously overboard, because looking for good in everybody is obviously a very good thing for all of us to do. But don't treat that looking for good as a PCR test. In other words, don't magnify every single item in the universe. All animals, rocks, people have a spark of goodness in them, at least. Some of them are 100% good or 99% good. And even the worst, most cruel person has that, whatever, 1% spark of goodness in them. And they can always, I think Christians call it repent, just they can mend their ways, like the beautiful Christian story, you know, Christmas Carol, where the Scrooge overnight, he changed his mind and became kind instead of miserly. Everybody has that capacity in them. This minute, this moment, it can happen. But don't treat that spark of goodness in a culture which is so cruel. Don't treat it like a PCR test. Don't magnify their good by 60 times, 50 times, in order to detect, in order to overblow it.
That's scary. I appreciate all those sentiments. And our next caller, I'm sure, is going to reinforce what you're saying here. Paul, join the conversation.
Well, I can only reinforce the other stuff, but all the good stuff about you and being sunny, and I don't see that at all.
Love it. Love it.
Just disconnect, Paul. Mitch, just hang up on him.
Go ahead, Paul.
You know, I know, it's having some fun. You know, I'm suffering a little bit of a hangover. I guess I was out partying with all my friends on Juneteenth the other day, so I'm a little under the weather. Maybe it's that, or I got the Delta variant. I'm not sure.
Paul, get this. Evanston, Illinois canceled their 4th of July parade due to COVID, but they've launched a Juneteenth and LGBT pride events in spite of it. I mean, this is just unbelievably insulting. Here's Tom Beaven tweeting, "My hometown of Evanston, Illinois is having a Juneteenth parade and a gay pride parade, but is canceling the 4th of July parade and fireworks." Unreal. Go ahead.
Yeah, I saw that. In fact, Renegade Tribune has got an article about it. Basically, they're mocking it as Hate Whitey Day. This is all just to build up a sense of outrage in these people to continue to essentially create a racial war, which I believe sooner or later is bound to come, one way or the other. In fact, it's amazing when you think about all the lies that have been told on so many fronts. And, of course, they're telling all these ridiculous lies about the so-called Tulsa massacre. There's a guy that did a masterful deconstruction of the actual history of that versus what they're saying and how they do it in subtle and not so subtle ways. I don't know if you saw or you heard, Jim, but they had a Juneteenth celebration in Oakland where, there was gunfire. One person was killed, multiple people were injured, and when the ambulance came, all right, or one of the emergency vehicles, they were actually twerking on a mounted, got on top of the ambulance, and were jumping around and celebrating. The whole thing, they just look like, to be honest, they look like baboons. They look like wild animals when you see this display. I'll send you the article. And I'm certain that you saw. Go ahead.
I certainly disapprove of all that, Paul. I mean, I wish it weren't the case, but I'm sure you're accurately reporting exactly what happened. What a bloody shame.
Right. And I think if you didn't see it before, I sent you the copy of the article that Mona shared with me from her local paper in Colorado Springs, where they're reporting that vaccinations are low, but hospitalizations are rising, right, or increasing. And, of course, people are being hospitalized with blood clots and other complications from the vaccine. And here's the paper. I liken to this to say that, okay, let's just substitute for the fun of it, getting shot with the vaccine. Or it's, in other words, getting a bullet to the chest, okay? And they're telling people, you need to start getting shot more because, it's unreal what these people are doing with our minds, and of course not our minds on this call, but
Paul,
just the minds, this is the minds of the American public.
Yeah, this is a very revealing news story about vaccinations, that the hospitalizations are rising. It's because of the vaccinations they're rising. I have no doubt at all. But do they admit that in the story?
I didn't read the story. I just only saw the headline. But if you talk to Mona, she shared with me the fact that she was visiting her son in the hospital, and she was talking to some staff and other people, and it's all well known that it's kind of like hushed tone. She said it's sort of like they're a little bit worried. It's almost like they're looking around to see if anybody's overhearing, but they all know it's the vaccine that's causing all these blood clot and other complications for admission. And
yes.
And yet, you know, here's the headline proclaiming vaccinations are low, hospitalizations on the rise.
Yes. Since you're mentioning the blood clots, let me say to everyone out there, look, we're all going to be exposed to persons who are vaccinated. This includes my own wife, who became vaccinated without my knowledge. Well, since blood clots seem to be a primary mechanism for harming us, take aspirin. I mean, it sounds ridiculous. In Russia, they did an autopsy on a COVID victim and found he died from blood clots. So they adopted an aspirin regimen. They sent home 14,000 patients from hospitals the same day. So you've heard, sounds like a joke, take two aspirins and call me in the morning. Well, I say, take at least one aspirin and protect yourself from blood clotting, because look, we are all going to be exposed. This thing is called shedding. Those who are vaccinated are the typhoid Marys of our time, but it's going to be ubiquitous. I don't think there's any possibility we're not going to be exposed. So I just say, I encourage you to take an aspirin a day to try to keep the blood clots away. Go ahead, Paul.
And make sure to stay hydrated. That's the number one thing, is make sure to stay hydrated and get a normal amount of activity, and most likely you should be fine. Just addressing real quickly what Scott was mentioning and what you mentioned to him about, you know, the so-called gain of function stuff. I've made clear on this show and actually other shows too that I'm not really buying that. I think it's more of a distraction. And the bottom line is that I think that people are being injected with these spike proteins. You know, this is something that has been discussed on many videos I've seen, and I think some of the better minds are coming to this conclusion that among the many things we're being injected with are the spike proteins. I don't think, in my opinion, I just don't believe they're going to get, you know, something in our body to do something that we normally wouldn't do. I don't really think the technology is perfected. I could be wrong, but I think it's just a giant experiment. And at the very least, they're poisoning us, which is what they always do.
Can you come back in here?
Keep going, Paul.
I was finished with that point.
Okay. Bruce, if you want to squeeze a word in edgewise, go ahead. Do it.
Gone.
Okay. Paul, Scarity, if you have a comment here on Paul.
Yeah, Jim. So aspirin, my father and mother both for decades long have been taking a daily aspirin. They call it baby aspirin. There's on the box on the stores, there's adult aspirin, which is 325 milligrams. They take the 81 milligrams. Now, I heard Giuseppe on your show last time say baby, when he used the phrase baby aspirin, he was referring to a coating of, like a helpful coating on each tablet so that you don't get indigestion and sickness. He seemed to think baby aspirin means the coated version, so that it goes down our digestive system.
Scary, it's both coated, but the smaller dose. So you're correct on both counts. It's a smaller dose.
It's crucial, because aspirin is and can be toxic. So very, very low doses is warranted.
Yeah, I don't think more than, I'm not recommending more than one normal adult tablet, you know, that's, but I think it's a good idea. I mean, I'm taking a baby aspirin every day anyway, but I'm now supplementing single aspirin, and I think it's probably, so far as I can tell, it's a good idea. But Paul, I thought your comments, go ahead.
Okay, so yeah, just quickly to keep in mind for all the listeners and to remind them once again about the concept of charge and the fact that the body will steal charge when it needs it wherever it can. In other words, it's stealing energy. And one of the easiest places for the body to steal charge from is the bloodstream. So when we have proper charge, we have proper energy, the blood cells are going to repel each other and they're going to be able to flow smoothly through the vessels. So it's always important, like I said, to maintain hydration, nutrition, a little salt intake, and activity, which will actually keep your charge level up, especially being outdoors. We absorb electrons from outdoors. So
very good. All good, Paul. Bruce is back. Bruce, you got a second to squeeze in one more comment or question? Bruce.
Yeah, two quick comments. When I used to be a paramedic, we dreaded out because I was in Galveston County, and we dreaded Juneteenth Day because it was one of the most violent days of the year. And in Raleigh, North Carolina, a medic was shot responding to a medical call for a small child. So, you know, that, and also to me, the 18th, June the 18th is Julius and Ethel Rosenberg Day. That was a day when two spies who passed on top secret information about radar, sonar, jet propulsion, and nuclear weapons to the Soviet Union.
Yes.
Were executed in Sing Sing prison by electrocution.
Bruce, thank you for that. And I believe if Hillary sold off 20% of U.S. uranium with approval of Barack Obama, what did they deserve if the Rosenbergs got the electric chair? I'm glad you called back, Bruce. I'm glad you called, Paul. Scaredy, and of course, Scott from San Diego, thank you all for calling. Thank you all for listening. Spend as much time as you can with your friends and relatives, those you love, because who knows how much time we have left. Thanks for listening. Back Wednesday with the event.
Listening to Revolution Radio.
Como va? This is Giuseppe from the District of Criminals. I've pulled some strings and gotten you front row seats to my new show, The Perfect Triangle. Live Friday, 6 to 8 p.m. Eastern Time on Revolution Radio Studio A. The Perfect Triangle is equilateral, three sides of the same length. In an angry, bipolar world, three perfect sides reveal many truths.
Body, mind, and spirit.
Thought, word, and deed.
Conspiracy, propaganda, and truth.
Natural health, allopathic tyranny, and your body.
Freedom, globalism, and sovereign nations.
And so much more. Each week, the Perfect Triangle will blast through fake news lies, champion the natural way and natural law, unravel the Orwellian deceptions of our corrupt government, reveal the satanic evil of globalist banks and transnational corporations. Tune in every Friday, 6 p.m. Eastern, to Revolution Radio Studio A for thoughtful discussions with free thinkers. Your calls are always welcome. The Perfect Triangle with Giuseppe from the District of Criminals. Join me, won't you?
This is Thomas, a.k.a. a Mad Painter. I'd like you to join me Monday nights, 10 p.m. Eastern Standard Time for Open Canvas. Don't forget to bring an open mind.
Yes, folks, that's right. Bring an open mind to an open canvas. Again, that is Monday nights, 10 p.m. Eastern. UFOs to government corruption. This is Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com. You don't need to expect us. We're already here.
We did not engage in conflict that was